Hey, it's me, Richie T, and I'm again joined by a great artist here on the phone, all the way, as some people like to say, but I don't really particularly care for, across the pond, Dan Kroll calling us from, is it Liverpool, England, or are you in London right now?
No, I'm in Liverpool. That's where I spend most of my time.
Born and raised in Liverpool?
Born in, not far away, an hour away, a place called Stoke-on-Trent, but pretty much raised in Liverpool, I feel. I'll definitely call it home, really.
I think probably I'm not unlike most people. When they think of Liverpool, they immediately go to the Beatles. How does that kind of impact you?
Yeah, no, everyone does make that connection. It's a great connection, obviously, for the city. It impacts me in a good way. The Beatles were great. They were a big influence for me. Maybe it's quite frustrating for Liverpool artists to have that connection. Just trying to new music, trying to break out and kind of be ahead of the Beatles in a way, take that crown off them.
Kind of find yourself perhaps maybe in like a Beatles shadow kind of thing.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, I think maybe people who not me, but maybe people who've been here longer than me. Maybe get frustrated with that kind of shadow that's over them and just want people to see Liverpool for other great music other than the Beatles.
Is there a pretty great music scene there in Liverpool?
There's a fantastic music scene at the moment. It's such a small city that, you know, everybody knows everybody and everyone's collaborating. All the bands and artists are sharing great music. So, yeah, it's definitely a fantastic scene at the moment.
Give me an idea of how big it is.
You'll walk from one end to the other in about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think people think it's bigger than it is, but in fact, it's a small city.
I do want to talk a lot about, your music. We're starting to play From Nowhere here on our station. So we want to talk a little bit about that. But before I leave the Beatles, I want to talk a little bit about how you were chosen to do a private session with Sir Paul McCartney, and talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, the man himself. Well, I'd been in London the day before, playing like a London showcase, and then I drove back from London, got home at about 6 a.m. in the morning. I had about 4 hours sleep, and then went into my university, where I went to the Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts, and had my meeting at like 10, sat inside the room and waited for Paul McCartney, and then he came in with his guitar and we just kind of sat down for 45 minutes and just kind of played him two of my tracks, one called Home, one called Marion, and he just got his guitar out and started playing along with them and harmonizing and just kind of just hanging out more than anything. It was just, you know, kind of once in a lifetime moment, and it was just an incredible feeling.
Were you able to record it and keep it? Is that something we're going to find if I search really deep on the internet?
I don't think so. I think that's all very confidential, private stuff. I'm very sure it won't be on the internet. If it is, I'd love to know where it is. But maybe one day I'll get hold of it. I think it was filmed, but we'll see one day.
Does it lose its impact a little bit where, the Beatles are kind of equivocated with Liverpool, that you're kind of like, oh, well, I've seen these guys so much that it becomes a little desensitized to it, or was it still probably just the most awesome experience?
No, it was definitely a fantastic experience. I'm not like a big listener. I never really listened to the Beatles that much growing up. I had more like Burt Bacharach and Brian Wilson and Paul Simon, more of those artists than the Beatles. So I was never like a massive fan of them. I liked their music, but I wasn't kind of like obsessed with them like a lot of people can be. So I wasn't too nervous going in there and meeting him. But definitely when I saw him in front of me, it was quite a kind of incredible feeling, just being right in front of this person, knowing that you're gonna now spend 45 minutes playing him your songs, a guy who's written thousands of incredible songs and had such an impact on music. So yeah, it was great.
How did you get into music?
Well, I was born into a relatively musical family. My mum's a fantastic singer, and she used to do like a lot of singing with kind of big bands and folk bands, and she's a big inspiration for me. My dad played a little bit of the piano, and he played the trumpet for a while. And like growing up, my mum listened to a lot of old jazz records, like Ella Fitzgerald, a lot of like kind of artists like Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, and stuff like that. And then my elder sister, she introduced me to a lot of more modern music, a lot of kind of like the indie wave that we had in the UK.
Like bands like
so
who?
Music was, I suppose, people like The Strokes, The Libertines, people like that. And yeah, I think she also played piano and clarinet. So I always had music around me, and I always had instruments around me. It wasn't something that I took very seriously. I didn't think it was going to be my career. I was hoping to have a career in rugby, but that kind of came to a halt once I broke my leg. And I suppose I had like a reflective period where I looked back on music and realized that I had a great love for music and that I'd like to turn that into a career, I suppose.
One of the bio information that I received about you says that you are a karaoke enthusiast. What is that?
I think that just means that me and the band like to get drunk and do karaoke pretty much. I think somehow we just end up going for a quiet drink and end up maybe doing some kind of karaoke. There's a new thing that started here in Liverpool, just down the road from us, which is called Rockyoke.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically just a cheap bar, a live band that do all kinds of old school rock and roll songs. And you just get up and sing them. I think it's great fun. It's a great social kind of gathering and idea.
What's your go-to karaoke song? Everybody has that one that it's like, man, here is Dan's go-to karaoke song. What is it?
It would be Aha, Take On Me.
Mm.
That's an amazing karaoke song.
That's great. That's awesome. So as I'm looking over some other stuff, you know, you're starting to do your first U.S. tour, or you've done it now, right?
Yeah, we did it in March. Yeah.
And how was it?
It was incredible. The first time me and the band have been over to America, and it couldn't have gone better, really. We had an amazing time, a lot of sold-out shows, and got to meet a lot of fantastic people and see a lot of fantastic cities, and really looking forward to coming back out again. And, you know, there's a few new cities added on, so I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
Is there a city in particular that you loved the most?
It's quite a tough one. I think LA was quite fun. I found that like quite a strange city. Just kind of intrigued me. A lot of interesting places and funny buildings and stuff. LA was good. New York, you know, I think that I'm trying to not say the obvious ones that everyone else would mm-hmm. say they loved. But Minneapolis. We really enjoyed our time in Minneapolis. We did a lot of great stuff there.
I don't think that anyone would ever say that they enjoyed their time in Minneapolis. So that's a safe bet right there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had a lot of great fun in Minneapolis.
Tell me about your collection of odd instruments.
When I kind of decided to take on music, I'd already kind of had a few instruments around me. I started to teach myself the trumpet and the piano. I had my guitars around me, piano, and it's kind of just kept going and kept building, and added the drums and just a lot of old organs that I really enjoy, a lot of vintage organs and pedals. And not long ago, I bought an accordion. I've been trying to teach myself the accordion, but it's incredibly difficult. So it's quite a frustrating instrument, but nevertheless, quite a fantastic sounding instrument. But I'm just trying to keep this kind of collection of instruments going, because that's like when I've got instruments around me, I think that's when I'm at my most creative, and I just kind of run around the room going from one to the next. And I think it kind of helps that I don't know them really well, because I think there's such a great feeling in finding something for yourself. So an instrument that you're not familiar with, if you can, you know, if you get a little idea on that instrument, suddenly this like flow of ideas can come from that. It's a great feeling.
Is that kind of where the song From Nowhere came from? I know it in anything that I've read about it, it just literally came from nowhere.
Yeah, no, like at no point in the song does it have the words from nowhere in it. Usually, I think when artists, you know, most of the time pick a name for their song, it usually comes from the lyrics within it. But originally, I'd just bought a Farfisa organ off eBay for £5. And got it over to my place, and it has like this built-in drum machine on it. And when I plugged the organ in, from when I picked it up, it had it pushed down. So as soon as I turned on the organ, this drum beat came on, which is the start of From Nowhere, that kind of intro drum thing. And then started playing those chords, and yeah, it all happened within about 10 minutes, and it was bizarre. It just came from nowhere. And then that day, I think we just laid everything down on top of it and started kind of recording and producing a track around that organ, around that organ drum beat.
How come no name of your band? I know it's Dan Kroll, which is, I'm assuming, you. I hope that's an okay leap to make, but why not a name?
For me, I've been in a lot of bands growing up, and it's all of them have been fantastic experiences. And when you're a band, I think, you know, everyone has an input into songwriting and the management and the promotion and everything like that. But the case with pretty much every band I've been in is that I've brought forward the songs and I've kind of done most of the legwork, I feel. And which is nice. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think I like having that kind of responsibility. But this solo stuff, these are songs that mean a lot to me, and that I'm very proud of. And I suppose it's maybe just a recognition thing. And I think I've realized that it's finally time to kind of stop bands and pursue my solo career. But of course, I do bring a band along with me because my music it revolves a lot around layers and creating a lot of different sounds and stuff. And, you know, I want to create a good live show, so I bring my band with me.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to actually end this in sampling a little bit for people who haven't heard From Nowhere. We're going to sample a little bit of that and tell you thank you for making the phone call all the way from, as people would say, across the pond. That's Dan Kroll. Where can people find you online and all that stuff?
You can find me on Facebook, which is facebook.com/DanKrollMusic, or just Dan Kroll, sorry. Twitter at Dan Kroll Music. I'm on Instagram and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, I'm not hard to find, so just search me.
All right. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.